message I'm going to bring tonight. And he asked me to bring a couple of messages, and one I just don't even know what it's about. I've forgotten. It's been so long ago. It's been 2 or 3 days ago, and I forget quickly, as you know. This message is not a message that I preach anymore. It may be the oldest sermon that I have. It's the sermon old Dr. John Rice, with whom I traveled for 22 years, beside whom I sat on the same platform over 2,200 times in conferences like this around America, across America, and around the world. He'd lean over and say, "Dr. Hiles, would you preach?" And he'd call the title of this sermon tonight. It was, of all the sermons I preach, his favorite sermon. He asked for it again and again and again and again. I don't think he wanted this one. I think he's trying to avoid some of the others. But this was the sermon that he always loved for me to preach. I don't think it's my best sermon, but I'm going to grant Dr. Gray's request tonight. Before I give you the message, we've gotten so wacky in so many ways. And one way we've gotten wacky is on this thing about preaching. You haven't got to be called to preach. Just take off and do it. I mean, old Dr. John used to say, if you can witness to somebody, witness to them. But if another fellow comes up and witnessing to two, you haven't got to be called to talk to the two. He said, if 10 more come up, keep on telling them how to be saved. He said, if you end up with 1,000, just keep on doing it. Old Dr. John Rice used to say, he said, people ask me, "Are you called to preach?" He said, "I don't know." So I was up at Pacific Garden Mission one time in Chicago, and one man to Christ, he's an old bum. Next night he came back with his shoes shining, nice pair of pants, and a white shirt and a tie. He said, "I thought this literature beats English teaching. That's what I was doing." He said, "I decided to do this all the time." He said, "God don't know whether I'm called or not, but I'm going to preach till you stop me." He said, "God ain't stopped me yet." He said, we're crazy. We're wacky. On ordination councils, some fellow would stand up and say, "Young man, if you can keep from preaching, don't do it." That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of in my life. I don't want to preach right now. How would you like to preach after that? I'm saying that we're wacky. Don't blame God because you're lazy. And don't blame God because you won't get... Listen, you don't have to be called to full-time service. Just surrender. And if God doesn't like it, he's got tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes. He can stop you just like that. And if you're here tonight, let me say this. We're going to have some preachers and missionaries and assistant pastors and Christian school principals and Christian school teachers if we're going to save this country. Now, if we get them, reckon where God's going to take them from. Huh? He's going to take them from right here. He's going to come to meetings like this, and he's going to take them. Acts chapter 5, we won't turn to it. Verse number 20. They tried, Acts chapter 4 rather, they tried to hush up a bunch of preachers. And the preachers said, "Go ahead and decide whether we can do it or not. Because when you get through deciding we can do it or not, we're going to do it anyhow." In the Chicago area, we have hundreds of little cities. I'm talking about 20 and 30 and 40,000 population. And the mayor of one of them called me one day, and he said, "Reverend," anytime anybody called me Reverend, I know they're backslidden immediately. He said, "Reverend," he said, "your people are bothering our people with your solicitation. As we ain't solicitating, we're soul winning." He said, "Well, I want you to know that if we're gonna, anybody that comes next week, they got to have a permit." Oh, I said, "We got that." And He said they didn't have it with them. I said, yes, it's covered in black. It's got Holy Bible, King James Version written on it. And the mayor said, now, Reverend, he said, I want to warn you, if they come without a permit next Saturday, are we putting them in jail? I said, how big is your jail? I said, I'm sending 3,000 soul winners to your town Saturday. You better enlarge your jail. He said, well, okay, but just tell them not to do it too much, that's all. I mean, you may as well tell a dog not to bark, a cat not to meow, a skunk not to stink, is to tell a soul winner not to go soul winning. And so they said, okay, we're going to do it anyhow. I said, we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. In Acts 16 and 9, the vision came to the apostle from a man in Macedonia. He said, come over into Macedonia and help us. In Hebrews 12, 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In Luke 16:27, a man in hell looked up to Jesus, or Abraham, and said, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water, cool my tongue. He said, I can't do that. He said, there's a gulf between us. He said, okay, would you send him to go tell my five brothers? I got five brothers. And have him go testify to them, because I don't want them coming down here where I am. We cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. Come over into Macedonia and help us. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Send Lazarus that he may tell my five brothers. Our Heavenly Father, I shudder when I come to preach this sermon. I tremble, and especially tonight. I have asked you tonight for some specific things, and I pray you'd give them to me, because they're for you. And every trophy that you lay at my feet, I'm going to put it back to your feet. If you ever put a crown on my head, I'm not going to keep it on, but just a minute, I'm going to take it off and give it to you. It's your business, but I need your help tonight. Do something real in this room. Very, very, very real. In Jesus' name, amen. When I first came to Hammond 36 years ago, this August the 20th, been there a few weeks in that very wealthy downtown church. We had millionaires all over the place. We don't have any hundredaires now. They're all over the place. Same man I talked to, mentioned this morning, invited us out to eat. This before that experience. And he came and he said, Reverend, I want to talk to you. And I said, all right. He said, before you came, we had a revival every year for maybe a week or two. We had an evangelist come in. We'd get some people saved, and he said, we'd baptize 40, 50, 50, 60 people a year. But he said, ever since you've been here, it's been that way all the time. He said, it's soul winning Sunday morning, it's soul winning Sunday night, it's soul winning on Monday, it's soul winning on Tuesday, it's soul winning on Wednesday, it's soul winning on Thursday, it's soul winning on Friday, it's soul winning on Saturday. He said, Reverend, the pressure's on all the time. This multimillionaire began to tremble. And he said, Reverend, ever since you've been here, I've been nervous. He said, in fact, all our people have been nervous. I'm representing a bunch of wealthy people. And he said, we're nervous. He said, you've made us nervous. He said, last Sunday morning, we sang 53 stanzas of Just As I Am without one plea. He said, there ain't but five of them, Reverend. He said, 53 stanzas of Just As I Am without one plea. Why can't you be normal? That's what I thought about you a while ago. You're preaching. The first time I ever heard Bob Gray preach after he left our college, I said, man, we overtrained him. And then I realized whose sermon it was, and I said, anyway, I'll never forget that sermon I used to preach on Father Knows Best years ago. In that sermon, I told about this fellow in our church that walks real slow, gave me $40,000. About this guy, I always heard going up, so I love you, I love you, I love you. Story was right, just got the location wrong. But he said, Reverend, we're nervous. He said, the pressure's on. He said, why can't you be like other preachers? He said, why is the pressure on all the time? I said, you come Sunday night and I'll tell you. I preached this sermon on Sunday night. I told the story. He said, why are you like you are? Why are you like you are? Why can't you be normal like other preachers? I said, ladies and gentlemen, I said, in the first place, something is a call from within that says I've got to do this all the time. On the inside of me, there's something burning, been burning for years and years and years. I've got to emphasize this matter of soul winning. I said, a man came to me. I didn't call his name, but they knew who he was. And I said, he said, you're nervous. I said, you're going to get more nervous too. I said, it's a call from within. That call came to me when I was a young teenage lad. You see, I was always a very quiet, timid kind of a fella. I sucked my thumb. I was 14 years of age. No joke. I still hadn't broke my habit of sucking my thumb when I was 14 years of age. I weighed 92 pounds on my 17th birthday. I was the shy. I flunked public speaking in high school. I was the shyest person. Most of the people in the church had never heard me say even one little sentence. I just didn't say anything to anybody. One Sunday morning after church, a deacon named Jesse Cobb came up to me on the steps of the church just outside the front door, Hillcrest Baptist Church up in Dallas, Texas. And he said, Jack, would you go soul winning with me this afternoon? I stuttered when I talked. I said, Jesse, you know me. I wouldn't know what to say. And Jesse said, Jack, you won't have to say anything. Care Plexico is my soul winning partner, and Care is on vacation this week, and I've tried to get somebody to go with me. I can't find anybody. Would you just go with me? I'll do all the talking, and all you have to do is listen. I had my Ph.D. in listening, and I said, why, sure, I'll go. We got in the car about 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, drove up to Seaver Street, either Seavers or Ramsey Street. They're right next to each other in Dallas, Texas, in the Oak Cliff section. Jesse gets out of the car, and we walk to the door. It's the door of a high school football player named Kenneth Florence, introduced him at pastor's school last year. Kenneth Florence, a big guy, played tackle on the W.H. Adamson High School football team. I weighed 92 pounds. He probably weighed a couple of hundred pounds. And Jesse was about 5'5" tall. A little bitty guy. He was a little over middle-aged man, and a wonderful, wonderful deacon, wonderful Christian. And Kenneth came to the door, and he looked down at me and down at Jesse, and he said, can I help you, please? And Jesse said, Kenneth Florence, my name is Jesse Cobb. He said, this is Jack Hiles. I generated all the extra version I could and said, Jesse said, Kenneth, Jack here wants to say a few words to you. No, Jack didn't. Jesse's a liar. Jack didn't want to say anything to anybody. Now, I don't know what I said. Jesse told me this. If this is not true, it's Jesse's fault because I blacked out. Jesse said, I said, Kenneth, would you come to church tonight? And Jesse said, Kenneth said, yes, I would. And Jesse said, I said, you would. And Jesse said, I said, Kenneth said, yes, I would. And Jesse said, I said, we'll come by and get you. I'll come by and get you at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, I borrowed Jesse's car. Went by and got that football player and put him in my car, scared to death. Absolutely scared to death. Because I knew that God had given me a soul I had to win, and I didn't know where to start. We got to church, we sat on a second row from the back, right back there, second row from the back. Now, don't look back there. It wasn't in this building, dumb bunny. You know what this crowd, you folks are all plain old idiots. That's what you are. You're crazy. I mean, the lights are on, but nobody's at home. Cheese is falling out of your sandwich. The elevator didn't go to the top floor. We sat back on the second row from the back. Everybody look back there, right back there. That's right. That's it. And so, Hillcrest Baptist Church building seats about 1,000 seat about 1,000 people. I don't know what preacher said, because I knew I had a soul I had to win. Preacher finished the sermon, gave the invitation. I put my arm around Kenneth and looked up at him. I said, "Would you like to be saved?" He said, "Yes, I would." I said, "You would?" He said, "Yes, I would." I said, "You come with me. I don't know what to tell you to do, but the pastor will." We walked down the center aisle. That aisle right there. Look at it now. It's that aisle right there. That's it. We came down the center aisle. Pastor met us right there at the altar. Look at the altar. He's right there. And Brother Sizemore said, "Jack, what can I do for you?" I said, "Brother Sizemore, this Kenneth Florence. He wants to be saved." And I went back to sit down, and I dusted my hands off like that, and said, "Boy, my job's over." And the pastor said, "Hold it, Jack." He said, "Kenneth, Jack wants to tell you how to be saved. He's a bigger liar than Jessica." I knelt right there. Looky there, right there. That's right, right there. Where the ugly guy sitting on the end. That's right. And the uglier guy sitting right beside him. "Hello, ma'am, you're next. I'm too nice." And we knelt right there. And I looked up that big old football player, and I said, "Kenneth, I don't know how to tell you." He said, "Don't need you to tell me." He said, "I've had a soul winner about to see me every Sunday for months, and every one of them has told me how to be saved. I know what to do." I said, "Then do it." Bless God, Kenneth began to pray. And he knew what to pray. He said, "Dear God, I'm a sinner. I thank you that all I need to know is somebody loved me, and I believe old Jack here loves me. And he said, and I have mercy on my soul and save me, and I now trust Jesus as my Savior, and bless your little pea-picking heart, the fireworks of heaven turn loose in my soul. I want you to know," the sparklers began to sparkle, and the firecrackers went off, and Roman candles filled the sky, and glory to God, I jumped up off my knees. I said, "Good night, this guy was going to hell, and now he's going to heaven. He was going to burn the fires of torment. Now he's going to walk down golden streets forever." I said, "Bless God." I walked back up to my preacher, and I said, "Brother Sizemore, would it be okay with you if I just did this all the time from now on?" After they poured cold water on the pastor's face, woke him up for the shock of somebody wanting to do all the time. The next 7 days, listen to me, little thumb-sucking Jackie Boy Hiles, little introvert, 92-pound Jackie Boy Hiles, little Jackie Boy Hiles at front public speaking, little introverted, shy, poor Jackie Boy Hiles, 14 years old before he ever owned a pair of shoes of his own, 14 years old before he ever ate an egg, 14 years old before he ever ate a hamburger, didn't see an indoor toilet in the house till he was 14 years of age. Little Jackie Boy Hiles, the next 7 days, we had a revival. 37 people walked the aisle of Hillcrest Baptist Church in those 7 days. And God set something going in my soul, something burning on the inside. I've got to be a soul winner. I can't help it. I've got to lead folks to Christ. I can't help it. I'm saying,
there is a call from within. And you listen to me well right now. That's all the call you need. Well, do you feel called to preach? Well, do it and ask God when you get to heaven if it's okay. It's time some of you rascals lit a fire to your dreams of making money. And you walk inside the pastor's study and say, but I just don't feel called to preach. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, but preach anyhow. If you don't want a pastor, get you a tent and preach in a tent somewhere. Build you a brush arbor. When I was a kid preacher, I went all over this East Texas area preaching in country, on country roads. I'd get me a fella could play the accordion, and I'd go all over these. I'm talking about Spring Hill. I'm talking about Gladewater. I'm talking about Big Sandy. I'm talking about Harleton. I'm talking about Hallsville. I'm talking about Wascom. I'm talking about Tatum. I'm talking about all these little towns around here. I'd go out in the woods and build me a brush arbor and get me a guy who could play the accordion. I'd go from house to house and say, we're going to have an accordion recital and preaching tonight. And bless God, that's before the box was invented. Nobody had a television set in those days. And most folks couldn't afford radio. And I'd preach in these campaigns around here. Little old revival. You say, who's sponsoring you? Jesus is sponsoring you. That's who. And God never struck me with lightning because I wasn't called. I'm saying God gave me a call from within. America's going to hell while you sit there. I don't feel a call. Oh, shut up. You make me want to throw up and sometimes vomit and sometimes puke. Hello. Black girl in our grade school. Teacher was telling the story of the Good Samaritan. Teacher said one time there was a fellow went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And all of a sudden the thieves came up and they hit him and they beat him and they kicked him and they hit him and they hit him again and hit him again and hit him again. And the guy was there and he was half dead and blood is shooting out of his mouth and out of his nose. And the guy was about half naked and half dead. And there, he said a fellow came by, walked over, looked at him. Teacher said, boys and girls, what would you have done? Little black girl said, I'd have thrown up. America's going to hell while you're trying to figure if God wants you to get people saved. God doesn't call you, surrender. Volunteer. Pastor, why are you like you are? I represent the affluent people of this church. I'm nervous. Look at me, I'm trembling right now. I'm nervous. My doctor the other day, we have a bunch of doctors in our church. My doctor came after the service to take my blood pressure. He said, preacher, the way you've been preaching lately, I'm worried about you. He put that little blue jigger on my arm, took my blood pressure, shook his head and said, it's normal. Well, I don't know how you can preach like that and have, not have high blood pressure. Doc, I don't have high blood pressure. I give high blood pressure. I said, go check the deacon's blood pressure and see how they're doing. He said, we're nervous. You're not like other preachers. Why can't you be normal? We like you fine. We like your preaching. It's a bit loud. We like you personally. But he said before you came here, we had a revival once a year, or maybe sometimes twice. We'd get some evangelists in here. We'd baptize a few people, and we had folks saved. But he said, since you've been here, it's soul winning on Sunday. It's soul winning on Monday. It's soul winning on Tuesday. It's soul winning on Wednesday. It's soul winning on Thursday. It's soul winning on Friday. It's soul winning on Saturday. Why can't you be like everybody else? We're a nervous bunch of people. Why can't you be normal? I said to my people, not only is there a call from within, there's a call from without. Not only did the apostles say, we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. It's in here. It's in here. I said it's in here. There's a call from the inside. And I said not only Is there a call from within? There's a call from without. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over into Gladewater and help us. Come over into Marshall and help us. Come over into Shreveport and help us. One reason why I'm here this week, we're starting some bus routes from Hammond and Longview. I said, my people, another reason why you're nervous and I'm not normal is there's a call from within and there's also a call from without. I believe there's a heaven and a hell. I believe people that die without God go to hell. I believe people that go to hell burn in hell. I believe people that burn in hell burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And don't you sit there and tell me that you got a husband sitting beside you in the home and laying beside you in the bed and sitting beside you across the table and he's only one heartbeat from burning in hell forever. Don't you tell me you love him and don't tell me you believe this Bible. I'm trying to say there's a call from without. Come over and help us. That call started in my life about 20 miles from here. I was called to pastor the Grange Hall Baptist Church out at the edge of Marshall, Texas. I preached a whole year. Didn't have anybody saved. Not just there. A little country college church up in Red River County near Bogota, Texas. My first full-time church was over here about 20 miles from where I stand right now. After a whole year, and I won't go into the story, one Sunday night, three people got saved. I had never seen anybody walk an aisle before. Three people got saved. Three all at one time. Man, I said, folks, I'd read what to do. I said, these three people are coming for baptism. What's your pleasure? We had an old deacon in the church, sat over here, had a window there. Didn't have any air conditioning those days. Old deacon sat over that window, and he had spit out the window. Make a motion be received for baptism after baptism in a full fellowship with the church. Had another deacon over here next to this window. He'd say, a second to move. That's the only move he made all the time I was there. I said, all in favor of receiving these folks after baptism and the full fellowship of the church, say aye, aye. And all opposed, no. And we voted folks in the church right off the bat. We didn't care if they're communists or Nazis. We're just glad to have them. Now, up north, you've got to have credit references and blood tests and everything else to get in the church. But, and then we'd come by to shake their hands. Those days didn't have big crowds. And so what we'd do, we'd put our songbook in our left hand and come by. And everybody would stay while everybody came by to shake hands with the converts. We only had two little sections here like this. And so the first row came and shook hands with the three converts and went around the back, came around, came back, stood there and kept singing while the second row and the third row and the fourth row and the fifth row till everybody had shaken hands. Well, we dismissed the service. We only had one car there that night and everybody else drove tractors or wagons or came on horseback. We're talking back in another dispensation. So, I was happy. Man closed the service. I got right over there in the altar, about right there. And I was having a spell. I got a Baptist head, but I got a Pentecostal heart. And I was having a spell over there. My Baptist head was sending my Pentecostal heart a heap of messages. And I said, glory to God, this is what I want. Clapping my hands and shouting, woo, praise the Lord. Folks outside getting in the wagon, on the wagons and on the tractors and the horseback and the Model A Ford out there. And I was over there having an old-fashioned camp meeting and having a spell. I said, glory to God, woo! And all of a sudden, wham! Big old 6'3", 235-pound fellow named O.C. Pruitt hit me. He was a trainman for TP Railway. He hit me like a ton of brick, and I was a little bitty guy, weighed 141 pounds, same thing I weigh now. And it hurts me when you doubt me like that. And this trainman, O.C. Pruitt, he hit me. He said, Reverend, He said, my daughter, Dorothy Hall, is sitting back there next to the wall, back in the back. She's crying her eyes out. I bet she'd get saved. You'd go talk to her. I crawled back there, man. I went back over there where she was, held against the wall. And I said, it's Barbara. It's daughter Barbara, said Dorothy. And I said, Barbara, I said, you want to be saved? She said, you preached on hell tonight. You don't think I want to go to hell and burn forever, do you? I said, no, I don't think so. I told Barbara how to be saved. She came down the aisle. I went on the front porch. Hey, come on back in. And the wagons came back in. The horses came back in. And the tractors came back in. The Model A Ford came back in. And the people came back in. And the folks came back in the auditorium. I said, folks, this is Barbara Pruitt. She just got saved. I said, what's your pleasure? Oh, I'm sorry. Deacon over here spit out the window and said, make a motion to receive for baptism after baptism, a full fellowship of the church. I second the move. We put our song books in our left hand and sang, we shall be gathered at the river. That's all we ever sang for that song. And the first row came first, and the second row came second. And we had a book in our left hand and shook hands, and we sang, shall we gather at the river. First row came first, then the second row, then the third row, then the fourth row, then the fifth row. They all came around, till everybody shaking hands with Barbara. And then I dismissed the service. Man, I was in tall cotton. Four people saved. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And I dismissed the service. Folks went going out, getting on the tractors and the wagons and the horses and one Model A Ford. I got this spot over here, and that's heaven spell number two. Woo! Well, glory to God in the highest. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Wham! Same fella hit me. Big old guy. He said, 43 years old. He said, Reverend, my married daughter, Dorothy Hall, sitting back here on the back row in the middle. Look at her. She's crying her eyes out. I bet she'd get saved. I said, here I go. I went back there. I said, Dorothy, you want to be saved? She said, my sister's going to heaven. You think I want to go to hell now? I said, don't think so. And I won Dorothy Hall to Jesus Christ. Hey, I went on the front porch. Hey, come on back in. Come on back in. And the horses came back and the wagons came back. And then the tractors came back and the Model A Ford came back and the folks came in. I said, folks, I said, this is Dorothy Hall. She's Barbara Pruitt's sister. Dorothy just got saved. What's your pleasure? Make a motion to receive for baptism after baptism and full fellowship of the church. Second to move. All in favor say aye. We opened our song books to Shall We Gather at the River. And what row came first? Till everybody come by and shaking hands. Boy, I was having a time. I dismissed the service. Folks went out to get on the tractors, wagons, horses, and the Model A Ford. I got over here, had a hole in heaven right over here. I got over here and I was having a spell. Glory to God. Woo! Five people saved. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Wham! Same fella hit me from the rear. He said, Reverend, he said, Dorothy Hall's husband, Sam Hall's on the front porch. He just threw down his cigarette. You think that means anything? I said, it means he's got some sense. I went back on the front porch. There's old Sam Hall sitting out there crying. I said, Sam, did you just throw down your cigarette? He said, sure, you preached on hell tonight, and I got to look at that thing. I thought, good night, that looks mighty hot to me. I said, you want to get saved? Well, you said, my wife's going to go to heaven. My sister-in-law's going to go to heaven. You think I want to go to hell? I said, don't think so. And I won Sam Hall to Jesus Christ. Came running back in. And I said, hey, come on back in. And the tractors came back in, the horses came back in, the wagons came back. I'm talking about 20 miles from here. And then Model A Ford came. I said, folks, this is Sam Hall, Dorothy's husband, Barbara's brother-in-law. He just got saved. What's your pleasure? Make a motion to receive for baptism. After baptism and a full fellowship of the church. Second to move. All in favor say aye. We put our song books in our left hands and turn to Shall We Gather at the River. And first row came first, and then and then the, and then the, and the, and the, And we came by to shake hands with Sam Hall. Man, you talk about happy. We dismissed that service. Man alive. Good night. I'd make Bob Gray look like an Episcopalian at a funeral. I got over here to the same spot. Folks going out to get in their own tractors and wagons and horses and a Model A Ford. And I was over here in this same spot having a spell. You're in my way. And having a spell. And I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Wham! Same fella hit me from the rear. He said, Reverend, think I'll get saved myself before I go home. Hey, come on back in. Mr. Pruitt got saved. He became a lay preacher. And for the rest of his life, he was a lay preacher. He got saved. Hey, come on back in. I said, folks, this is Papa Bear. Barbara and Dorothy's father, Sam's father-in-law. What's your pleasure? Make a motion to be received for baptism. After baptism and full fellowship, the church. I second the move. All in favor, say aye. We open our song books to, we came by to shake his hand. 11:15 that night, we dismissed the service. My little old wife and I, she was still a teenager. I got married and I was 7. She was 4. She was still a teenager. Almost that bad. Or good. We went to our little country parsonage next door to that church on Highway 43 you mentioned tonight. We got on our knees beside our bed and opened our big old loose leaf Scofield reference Bible and put our hands on it and said, Dear God, this is what we claim for our life and for our ministry. We're not going to settle for anything less than this. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been 46 years since that night. There's not been one single Sunday in 46 years I haven't seen somebody saved. There's not been one single Sunday in 46 years I haven't baptized somebody. And there's not been one single 7-day period in those 46 years that these lips haven't told the story of salvation to somebody who received Christ as Savior. I'm trying to say there's a call from the inside and there's a call from the outside. Now get off your blessed assurance and surrender your life full time. Well, I don't feel called. You just did. My commanding general said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every once in a while, some Hal Anderson boy come to me and said, well, Hal, I'm looking for the will of God for my life. I said, good, I have a copy of it right here. Well, he said, I won't know where to go. I said, the Bible says, go into all the world, find your spot somewhere in the world. I mean, if you're supposed to go to Phoenix and end up winning New York City to Christ, it's not going to hurt God's feelings too bad. I'm saying, you say, where am I supposed to do it? Do it where you are. Pastor, I'm representing the affluent people of the church. We're nervous. We've always had revivals once a year, sometimes twice. Only a few people saved. But it said we had morning worship services. We stopped that in a hurry. And said, Pastor, we're nervous. Look at me, I'm shaking right now. Why can't you be like other preachers, like we've had before? I like you fine. Your preaching's okay. It's too loud, but you're a nice guy. We think you're honest. But preacher, why can't you be normal? It's soul winning on Sunday, and soul winning on Monday, and soul winning on Tuesday, soul winning on Wednesday, soul winning on Thursday, soul winning on Friday, soul winning on Saturday, 52 weeks a year. He said, Reverend, why can't you be like everybody else? And I preached that next Sunday night. I said, number one, I'm not like everybody else because the call on the inside, I've got to do it. Don't you feel something burning tonight? Don't you feel the touch of God saying, it's time you meant business and gave your life to serve God full time? Don't you hear the call from without tonight? A world that's perishing without God. New York City hadn't got a half a dozen decent churches. Philadelphia hadn't got 3 decent churches. I'm saying Los Angeles doesn't have a half a dozen decent churches.
all across America, there are cities that are begging for the gospel that could have a Longview Baptist temple, but there's nobody to go. In God's name, volunteer tonight.
There's a call. There's a call from within. I said to my people, not only am I like I am because of the call within, not only am I like I am because of the call without, but I said thirdly, there's a call from above. Wherefore, seeing we're being compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, aren't you happy when you're watching the edge of night that John the Baptist is looking on you? You kids, listen to this dirty, starry rock music. Aren't you pleased when you stop and realize the Apostle Paul is looking down on you? I said, I've got to keep going, and as long as I'm pastor of this church in Hammond, Indiana, we'll go on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. There's a call from the inside, a call from without, and there's a call from above. Years ago, I was pastoring Garland, Texas. One Sunday morning, I always stood out in front, shook hands with everybody. Didn't have a parking lot. We used the shopping center lot across the street. Everybody parked there. Came across, came in the front door, and I'd stand out there and shake hands with everybody. One Sunday morning, little short fella, 72 years old. I thought that was mighty old, man. Just a kid. Little short fella, hair white as Chicago snow. Back was humped like that. About 5 foot, 5 inches tall, or six, 5'6" maybe. He came walking up. He said, my name is James W. Moore. I'm a Baptist preacher. I've been preaching for 50 years. But I had a heart attack. I'm not well. My family, I'm from Iowa. My family sent me down here to Texas because I had a daughter down here in Texas and some loved ones here. And I came down here to live. And I came to church here, saw your church, and I heard you preach it like it is. And he said, is your father here? Or are you the reverend? Well, I wish somebody would say that just one more time. I said, I'm Brother Hiles. I didn't think you'd be this young. He said, I'll join your church. Been preaching 50 years, and I won't cause you no trouble. I'll pull for you. I'll try to help you. He joined the church. I bought him a platform rocker. Remember those platform rockers? And put it over here in the corner in the altar. While I'd preach, he'd go, amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. I'd get off on dancing or movies. He'd say, pull over and park there for a while. What a man. I've never loved a man apart from John Rice as much as I loved James W. Moore. He'd come by every Monday morning. 9 o'clock sharp. Never late, never early. Brother Jack, I just came by to tell you about a stupid mistake I made when I was a kid preacher. He told me what his mistake was. It was always the same one I'd made the Sunday day before. But he never told me it was my mistake. He told me it was his mistake. I said, you're coming through loud and clear. And we'd kneel to pray. His old white hair and his shaking hand, palsied hands and his stooped shoulders and his unsure walk. Seriously ill with heart trouble. Sit over on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and rocking that rocking. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pull on Parker a while. That's what it says in the Bible. Preach it, preacher. On a Sunday morning, I noticed Brother Moore wasn't there. I looked and the seat was empty. That night it was empty. Wednesday night it was empty. Several weeks passed. I went by his house, knocked on the door. Nobody was home. I tried to find him. I couldn't. 3 months passed. Brother Moore had never come back. One Sunday night, midnight, a little after, I was awakened with a telephone.
And a nurse down at Spiegel's Hospital said, "Is this Reverend Hiles?" I said, "This is Brother Hiles." She said, "We have an old man here that's almost dead. He has a heart attack. We picked him up on the street corner, unconscious. He's coming and going now, but he won't live but a few minutes, and he has no identification. We ask him if he has any relatives. He can't tell us. All he says is, 'Call Brother Jack. Call Brother Jack. Call Brother Jack.'" Said, "We knew that you'd like to be called Brother Jack. You think you'd know him?" I said, "Is he short?" "Yeah." "In his 70s? "Yeah, probably." I said, "White hair?" "Yeah." I said, "I know him." I put my suit on over my pajamas and went down to that little room 11 or 12. Forgotten which room, either room 11 or 12. I walked in. There was James W. Moore, just about to go to heaven. Well, I knew he was dying, so I was a young preacher. I got my black suit, black tie, black shoes, black socks, and black Bible. Brother, I was ready to go. I was going to say dust to dust and ashes to ashes. And we have more fun at our funerals than some of you do in your weddings. Old James W. Moore laying there. He said, "Come here, Brother Jack. I'm just about to take a trip, but looking forward to it for a long time." He said, "In just a few minutes, I'm going to see Abraham and Isaac and Paul and John the Baptist and Jesus and Peter and Andrew. Anything you want me to tell them?" I said, "Tell them hi." He said, "Brother Jack, I want you to have a Bible conference. I'll be looking down from heaven. I want you to have..." And he listed the preachers he wanted me to have. "Brother Olaf, Brother Robertson, I want you to have a Bible conference." And we planned it together. And the old man reached his hand out and asked me to put mine in his. I reached my hand out and put mine, and he put his hand like that over mine. Holding my hands between his, he looked up at me and said, "Brother Jack! Brother Jack! Keep preaching it!" Don't you tell me to ease up, Buster. Don't you tell me to dry up like some of you deadheads are. I'm saying, why do we have it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? I'll tell you why. There's a call from here. There's a call from out there. And there's a call from up there. You want a call to preach? I've given you three of them tonight. And that's all a call you need. Light a match tonight to your dreams of that beautiful house. Light a match to your career. Light a match to your medical practice. Light a match to your nursing practice. Light a match to your legal profession. Light a match to your aspiration to make $1 million. And surrender your life to serve God full time and say, "With the grace of God, I've got a call. I've got three. One from the inside, one from the outside, and one from above." My little mama was going to heaven, 96 years of age. She called me to her bedside Wednesday night, September 20th, 1984. My mother looked up and said, "Son, read me some scriptures about heaven. I'll be going there in a few minutes." I couldn't read them, but I thank God I'd memorized some. I quoted my mother scripture after scripture about heaven. She said, "Son, let's sing about it." And we sang together, "There's a land that is fairer than they, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way." We sang,
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of the home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded day. My mother stopped singing. She said, "Son, can you see him?" I said, "See who, Mama?" She said, "He's right there. Can't you see him, son?" I said, "Who, Mama?" She said, "There's Jesus right there." And I said, "No, Mama, I can't see him. I bet my last dollar you can." She said, "There's Uncle Harvey and Aunt Jimmy, Uncle Basil and Aunt Gara, Uncle Roy and Aunt Octa. And there's my firstborn child. There's Lorene. She died when she was 7. She never walked or talked. She was a crippled spastic. Stayed in bed all 7 years of her life. There she is, son. Son, she's running. She's running. She's running, son. There she is." "Son," she said, "there's my second-born child, Hazel. She died from the measles when she was 7. My mother said, "Hazel, Lorene, you never have met your brother, have you?" She said, "Jack, you never have met your two older sisters. I want you to meet them." Her old, cold, bony hands just about to be stilled across her breast. She looked up and she said, "Hazel, Lorene, I want you to meet your brother. This is your brother, Jack. And Jack, I want you to meet Hazel and Lorene." "Again, I know what to do." I said, "Hi." Praise God. I preached 15 sermons on heaven. Last summer, we had a spell and a fit. We'd have made this conference look sort of dead. I'm telling you what, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell you, there is a hell and there is a heaven, and it's time you live like it. Don't tell me not to build a soul-winning church. Don't tell me not to go soul-winning. Don't tell me not to live for the souls of men. Don't tell me that. I've got a call from the inside. I've got a call from the outside. And I've got a call from above. And bless God, I aim to answer that call. But I don't feel called. Do it anyhow. People dying without God. "Pastor, why can't you be normal? You're the strangest things ever been here. We used to have revivals, get a few people saved once a year. But now every Sunday it's like it used to be in revivals once a year. I'm nervous. I represent a bunch of nervous, wealthy people, affluent people. We like you fine." He changed that tune a little later. "We like you fine. But we're nervous. Why can't you be normal? Why is it soul winning on Sunday and soul winning on Monday and soul winning on Tuesday and soul winning on Wednesday and soul winning on Thursday and soul winning on Friday and soul winning on Saturday? Why can't you be normal?" I said to my people, "Not only am I bent to soul winning because a call from within that came from Kenneth Florence. Kenneth. Would you be saved?" It came from O.C. Pruitt. "Think I'll get saved myself before I go home." It came from James W. Moore. "Brother Jack, keep preaching it." And I said, "Number 4. There's a call from beneath." I'd like to finish the sermon now. I don't want to go any farther. I've enjoyed the first 3 points. I shall not enjoy this one. This is the hardest point of any sermon that I preach. There's a call from beneath. My daddy was an alcoholic in Dallas, Texas. He was a bartender for 8 years, part-time.
at the Hunt Saloon right across the street from the Dallas Seminary. In 8 years, not one of those students walked across the street to tell that drunk how to be saved. Brother, if that's Christianity, the Pope is a Presbyterian. I wouldn't give you a dime for all those theology professors and applied psychology professors and ministerial aspirants. Sit over there and study their theology and let the world go to hell. In the year's Eve, 1949, I was pastor 20 miles from here. A little country church. I got burdened from my daddy. Got in the car that morning, December 31st, 1949. Drove to Dallas, Texas on Swiss Avenue. Live Oak Avenue was Swiss and Live Oak are one block apart, across from Dallas Seminary. Walked in my big 235-pound, 6'3", muscle-bound daddy was sitting at the bar, drunk. I walked up, big loose-leaf Scofia Bible, about the size of that beside in my hand. I walked up and I said, "Daddy, I want you to come with me." And my daddy cursed me and he said, I don't know how to go with you. I said, "Daddy, tomorrow's Sunday, New Year's Day, 1950. I want you to come with me down to East Texas, Marshall, Texas. I want you to hear me preach tomorrow." He cursed and said, I'm about to go hear some blank preaching. And I said, "Daddy, I weigh 141 pounds, and you weigh 235. But you and I are going to have a ballroom brawl right now, because I'm going to whip you and take you down there. You're going to whip me and not go. But we're going to have a brawl right here in front of these people in this bar." He agreed to go. I sobered him up. I don't like to drive down Highway 30 to 80. 80. That's the one through. I don't like to drive down that street. My daddy and I drove down Highway 80. It's just a few blocks up here. New Year's Eve, about 5 o'clock, 1949. I sobered him up. Took him to the Watch Night service that night. Last part of the Watch Night service, we boarded buses and went around Marshall and Longview and Gladewater and Atlanta, Texas and Jefferson, Texas and Henderson, Texas and sang carols and witnessed. I looked over at my daddy. I said, "Daddy, did you ever have this much fun on New Year's Eve before?" And my daddy said, "Son, this is the happiest New Year's Eve I've ever spent in my life." See, my daddy left my mama and me, and mama reared me alone. He was always the neighborhood drunk. Next Sunday morning, I preached January 1st, 1950. My dad said, "Right over there, second row, second from the end where you are, sir." I never prayed so hard in my life. My daddy clutched the pew and tears went and rolled down his cheeks. My one-legged deacon, Mr. L.G. Eaves, put his arm around my dad and said, "Mr. Hiles, don't you want to be saved?" And my dad said, "Yes, I'm going to be, but not this morning." That afternoon, I took a walk. Pasture beside the parsonage, down through the pasture, and I said, "Daddy, I'd rather see you saved than anything in the whole world." I told him how to be saved. He said, "Son, I'm not going to get saved today." But he said, "I'm going to go back to Dallas and sell out everything I've got. I'm going to come down to Marshall, buy me a little fruit stand or a little grocery store of some kind." My dad lost a grocery store in depression by bankruptcy. He said, "Son, I'm going to come down here. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to let you baptize me." I said, "That sounds good enough for me." He said, "I promise you, son, in the spring, I'm going to let you baptize me. I'm going to get saved. I can't now. I got too many things I got to get straightened out." But he said, "In the spring." I took him back, let him out on the corner of Hall Street in San Jacinto, in Hall Street and Haskell in Dallas, Texas. Brian and Hall. Last thing my daddy said, "Son, I'll let you baptize me in the spring." That was January 2nd, 1950. Morning of May 12th, the phone rang. A man said, "My name is Smith. Is this Reverend Hiles?" I said, "This is Brother Hiles." He said, "You're alcohol father just dropped dead of a heart attack." All I could hear was, I'll let you baptize me in the spring. I drove to Dallas, the O'Neill funeral home, same funeral home that embalmed President Kennedy. Buried him in Italy, Texas. Two or three years passed. My sister came to hear me preach one night in Garland, Texas. I stayed in my office that night, Sunday night, nearly midnight, and about 11:30, for some reason, I don't know why I was there. I do know now, but I didn't know them I was there. Knock came on my door. My sister said, Jack, would you tell me how to be saved? She's been the bursar and head bookkeeper at Howells Anderson College now for 25 years or more, ever since it started, really. And I won my only sister to Jesus Christ. After she got saved, I said, Earlene, why tonight? She said, because of what you preached on. She said, a few days after Daddy died, I had a dream. I dreamed that an angel came and took me upstairs in a big, huge room. She said that room was lined with caskets, all up and down the room, lined with caskets. The angel let me look in casket number one over here. There was a corpse there with his arms folded and a look of peace on his face. And beside that was another casket and another corpse with a look of peace on his face. I went around that entire room till I came to the last one. And the angel said, Earlene, you can't look at that one. She said, in my dream, I said to the angel, but I want to see the last one. Oh, no, she said, you can't look at that one. She said, Jack, I saw two hands above the casket. They were Daddy's hands. They were waving. Like that. I broke away from the angel. I rushed up. Daddy's face was writhing in pain. And he was saying, Sister, 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 Sister. The angel took me and pulled me away. I wondered from that night to tonight what Daddy was trying to tell me. She said, you preached tonight from Luke chapter 16. And the man in hell said, go tell my five brothers. She said, Jack, I know what Daddy was trying to tell me. Sister, don't come here. Don't come here. Sister! Sister! That's why I said, I'm different. And that's why we're nervous all the time. You ask me why it's so winning on Sunday and so winning on Monday and so winning on Tuesday and so winning on Wednesday and so winning on Thursday, so winning on Friday and so winning on Saturday. I'll tell you why. Kenneth, do you want to be saved? Think I'll get saved myself before I go home. Brother Jack, keep preaching it. Sister, I love you, sister. That's why. For 48 years I've been pastoring. Could I say this for the praise of Jesus? Nearly 800,000 people have walked the aisles in my churches professing faith in Christ as Savior. God can let me preach another 8 years and we have the same number of converts we've had. Praise God. I would have seen 1 million people walk down the aisles in my churches coming to Christ. Let me get on my knees. Let me beg you. I'm an old man. I've preached over 55,000 times. I'm worried about you. I'm worried about my country.
I'm worried about fundamentalism. Somebody's got to do it. I beg you tonight, strike a match to your hopes and dreams and say, by the grace of Almighty God, I'm going to give my life to serve Him full time till I die. A call from within. A call from without. A call from above. And a call from beneath. Can I? Think I'll get saved myself before I go home. Keep preaching it. Sister. I listen, Baba, sister. That's all the call you need. What you going to do about it? Would you bow your heads? Nobody moving. Nobody leaving. Every eye closed, every head bowed. I want you to turn to, in the sweet by and by, there's a land that is fairer than day. When I point to her, she's going to play it. Ask a question tonight. Don't you think it's time you started meaning business? But I'm not called. Do it anyhow. There's a land that is God is looking for volunteers tonight. I wonder how many of you would say, preacher, I'm talking to men, teenagers, boys. I'm talking to ladies and young ladies. I'm talking to everybody in this house that's got some time left to live. I'm asking you tonight to fill the ranks. I'm asking you tonight to volunteer for the army of the Lord. I'm asking you tonight to walk down this aisle and say, by the grace of Almighty God, I'm giving my life to the full-time service for my Savior. I'll preach. I'll be a missionary. I'll be a Christian school teacher. I'll be a principal. I'll be an assistant pastor. But I'm walking down this aisle tonight, and I'm surrendering my life from this moment forward till I breathe my last breath. I hear those calls tonight. Don't you hear that call from the inside tonight? Don't you hear that call from the without? Don't you hear that call from above? Don't you hear that call from beneath? Our Heavenly Father, bless this invitation.